and turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 8, and we'll see how much I remember what I studied. Amen. But it was a good study. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 8. Now, many of you in this congregation have experienced death up close. You've experienced it firsthand. And you've experienced saved loved ones that have passed, and perhaps unsaved loved ones that have passed. And sometimes you're not sure which, but we know as we go forward in this life that this is going to be something very real and true for us as we live in these present mortal bodies that we live in. Now, in the Bible, the body that you live in is compared to a clay pot. And I don't know about you, but I have broken teacups before, coffee cups. How many broken a teacup or a coffee cup, which is like a clay pot, maybe dropped it on the ground or something? And so my mother's with us, and she breaks them, and I say, I came by it honestly. I know why. But we break these clay vessels that we have, and maybe more modern, you have a cell phone. How many have dropped the cell phone and cracked the thing? Yeah, a lot of people relate to that. How many have a car and you've crunched the car? Yeah. And these are all vessels that are liable to be dinged and damaged. Now, you got a body. How many of you have had injuries to your body? Yeah, amen. And one day, this body is going to be dinged so badly that you're going to have to leave it. One day, you're going to lose this body. And I know when you're younger, you think you're invincible. I remember going with my buddy to Kentucky, into the hills of Kentucky, and he had a 1968 Corvette Stingray while I was in high school. Later on, he became a cop, but I remember coming back on 131 in Michigan. We were going about 140 mile an hour in that thing with a fiberglass body and down the highway. And you know, you don't think about it as a young person how quickly you can go out of this world. You feel invincible at times. And it's not so. It's not so. These bodies are very fragile, and we can die very, very quickly and break our bodies very, very quickly. So since these things are very common occurrences in our lives, it seems wise for us to prepare our hearts for either our loved ones, that they would leave their body, or that we ourselves would be prepared to leave. So I'm living with my mother, and every day she's talking about, I might be gone, I might be gone. She's always telling me that. But take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we want to do an exposition or an expedition of verses 1 through 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here's the reminder. If you are a saved believer, a born-again believer, your body is not yet saved. Your body is still liable to sickness, liable to death, liable to all these things. And you cannot, you need to realize you cannot have your body changed because you got changed. When you got saved, your soul and spirit got saved, right? But your body is still liable to sin, liable to death. It's still not saved. Your body's not saved. That's why it says, I'll read it again, and if Christ be in you, Romans 8, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of the righteousness of Christ that you've received through faith, you now have life. You have eternal life by the Spirit of God. But your body is still dying. Your body is still subject to death and is not saved. So we want to look tonight at what you believers who are true believers can both know and want concerning your present bodies. And I want to say three things tonight that you from 2 Corinthians 5 can both know and want concerning your present mortal body. First of all, you can know that if your present mortal body gives out, you have a better one coming. If your present body gives out, you have a better one coming. That's what the Bible says. So look at verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 5. Notice what he says there. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, the Bible says here we know that. Why do we know that? Because God's word says it. A lot of people say a lot of things. Let me just tell you this. Don't listen and be gullible and believe everything you hear. Somebody says, I died, I went to heaven, I saw my grandson. And they write books on it. And you go buy the book and you just purport that book. No, read the Bible. Study the Bible. And if the book goes against the Bible, don't believe the book. Believe the Word of God. It's our final authority for faith and practice. And a lot of people get hoodwinked because they don't know the Bible, they don't have a Bible teaching ministry, and they don't really understand what the Bible says. So you can know that if your present mortal body gives out, you have a better one coming. And that's what he says here. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Now remember, your body is your house. I don't see you, but I see the house God has given you. And that is your body. And that body can get older. That body can eventually dissolve, which means death takes place. And then it goes back into the ground. Some people burn the body, and they should not do that. That is not right. Oh, you say it's cheaper. Yeah, it may be cheaper, but it tells a false story. Burning your body says, by way of testimony, that I'm going to hell. I am burning my body, and what do they call that? Cremation. But they burn that body, and it goes in hot fire. That is a picture of your soul and spirit going to hell. And there are people that do that. Now, are there people that go to heaven? Yeah, and they burn their body, but their spirit and soul go to heaven. But they shouldn't do it. They do it to be cheaper. No, you should plant the body. You should put it in the ground. And that's a picture of resurrection. Just like you want to do the right picture of baptism, you want to have the right picture at your death. So plan your funeral with a coffin, a casket, a planting of. You want to do it in a bag and do it cheap? I don't care. But have your body buried, because that is God's way of doing things. Read your Bible. Now, in the Bible, where certain kings of Israel were burned, and they were burned, it was always a sign of God's judgment on those kings. They had displeased the Lord. But wherever a king pleased the Lord, wherever he was a believer and a godly man, they did not burn his body. They did not cremate his body. They buried his body. You go to pagan countries, India, they would burn bodies in India. In fact, in India, they used to have a practice before Christian missionaries come in. If a husband died, they would burn his widow alive. They would burn her alive. And the missionaries that were Christian missionaries, they stopped that practice and they fought for it and stopped it. And thank God for the influence of Christianity. But we need to start standing for something. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And I believe that this country, it should be believers that are leading this country and influencing this country. And so we need that when it comes to death and planning all of that as a testimony for the Lord. So you can know that if your present mortal body gives out, according to this verse, you have a better one. So it says, look at it again, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that means die, we have a building of God, an eternal house not made with hands in the heavens. Now, one of the men, if you think you know, tell me what he's talking about there in the second part of verse 1, that we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And watch out there, Brother Luke.
Is it talking about the body?
Yeah, it's talking about, do you know what body he's talking about?
The body of Christ.
Well, not the body of Christ per se, but the body that we have. Let's try Brother Matthew. Brother Matthew, what body?
The glorified body, sir.
Yeah, the coming glorified body. Okay, so we know that if this body gives out, now, don't we worship the body today? I mean, when I say we, I'm talking about our culture. Isn't it a culture that worships the body and is so concerned about the body? Now you should be concerned about your body to be healthy and so on and so forth. You should be concerned about the body, keep it away from fornication. The Bible says flee fornication. The Bible says flee every appearance of evil. Stay away from every appearance of evil. You should be concerned about that. Your testimony for Christ is important. You should be concerned about that. But I'm just saying that the body, that this body is going to die. This body is likely going to die. You know, that's the average. It's going to die. But the body in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, God has a resurrection body for us that we can look forward to. So here's what it's saying here. You believers can both know and want concerning your present body. You can know that if your present mortal body gives out or dies, you have a better one coming. The resurrection body will never get sick. The resurrection body will never get old. The resurrection body will never die. The resurrection body can never sin. The resurrection body can never have pain. The resurrection body will not need to sleep. Not need to sleep. The resurrection body, you see, will not need to use the bathroom. The resurrection body will not be limited to doors. You don't have to go through doors or open. You just go through the doors. The resurrection body can fly. The resurrection body will not need a dentist or a doctor or anything like that. And so I'm just saying that the resurrection body is much better looking and much better of a body. And that's what he's trying to say. Take care of this body, but it's temporary. It only lasts 70, 80, 90 years, whatever. But the body that's coming will last 100, a billion, a billion, a trillion, a million, just on and on and on and on, a zillion, Joel. It'll go on forever and never die. And it is a physical body, but it's immortal. Listen, that's what you ought to focus on. And you say, well, what do you mean that's what I ought to focus on? Well, go back a few verses and look at verse 18. Look what Paul did. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen. Well, what's seen is your present body. We're looking around and we're seeing who's here, what they look like, what clothes they're wearing. We observe all these things. We look at pictures. Miss Alicia sent me pictures of my picture with my mother and my picture, my son's picture with his mother, my wife. And they were happy to get it. Oh, that was wonderful. It all went all over. You know how we do that. And all that kind of stuff. And we had a great time. But listen, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So what are you focused upon? We can know that if our present body gives way, you have a better one coming. You need to focus on that. Number two, you desire the uppertaker over the undertaker. You desire the uppertaker over the undertaker. Look at verse 2. He says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, one of the men tell me what this is saying. First of all, I will say this, we groan in our body. What does that mean? How many of you ever had aches and pains that made you groan? Yeah. Amen. How many of you ever had aches and pains that made you groan? Thank you. Amen. Doesn't matter if you're younger or older. You get these aches and pains in the body and you groan when you get the aches and pains in your body. And it hurts you. Sarah cut her leg and her mother showed me a picture of it and it really looked bad. And that wasn't pleasant, you know. Our resurrection bodies are not going to have blood. They'll have flesh and bone, but no blood. So we groan groan in these bodies because of the pain that we suffer in these bodies, and we feel it. But notice what it says here. It says in verse 2 that we groan desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So what is it it's saying that we're looking forward to? What is it that we're desiring or wanting really badly? Kyle?
To be with our Savior Christ in the second coming.
Okay. So what he's talking about is, it specifically, we're desiring not to be unclothed, not to leave the body. And notice, let's go on here. Notice the next verse. All right, look at verse number 3. It says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, what is it that makes you naked? It's when your body is off you. When your soul and spirit leaves your body, then you are naked. Then you are just a ghost. You're not made to be a ghost. You're not made to float around like a ghost. You are made to have a physical body. God made you, a man is a tripartite being. He's body, soul, and spirit. I always compare it to an egg. If you break an egg, the body's like the shell of the egg. Then you see the yolk and the white of the egg. The white is like your soul, which is your mind, emotion, and your will. And then your spirit is like the yolk. That's the part of you that gets in touch with God. The soul gets in touch with other people. So if you die, your body is broken. Now your soul and spirit comes out and you're unclothed. Is that something that we look forward to? Not really. We don't want to be unclothed. So what he's talking about here is that we want the upper taker. We want to be clothed upon. Notice again what he says in verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. In other words, we want to have our body We want to stay in our body, amen, until Jesus comes back. And when Jesus comes back and he calls for the rapture of believers to meet him in the air, 1 Corinthians 15:52 talks about verse 2 of this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, where we just read verse 2. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In other words, what we should be looking forward to is when Christ comes back, the trumpet's going to sound, and wherever you are and whatever you're doing, your body will be suddenly changed. It will transform from a corruptible body into a what?
Incorruptible.
Incorruptible body. In a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. And that is what we should be looking to. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was looking for the rapture. Apostle Paul was looking for Jesus to come back. And we ought to be looking for that and desiring that. And that's why we serve God. When you serve God, your body should get tired. Your mortal body should get tired. You know what? At night, I go to sleep and I go out like a light. I am tired every night. Why? Because I've been working. And I want to have worked so I know I've worked for the Lord. You know, some people just work, and they just work, but they're not working for the Lord. And you're wasting your work. Because it's only what you do in Christ, by abiding in Christ, that's what's going to last. And so you want to work for the Lord and to know you're working with the Lord, and you're not doing it your way. If you're doing it your way, you're wasting it, and it's going to burn. At the judgment seat of Christ, what you're doing, you may be well-meaning, you may be trying to do it good and hard, and you're working hard, but if you don't have God's priorities, if you're breaking God's principles, you're going to waste all your life. It's all going to burn up. And when Christ comes back, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of the believer there, and it will go on for just under a month in heaven, and all of your works will be burned up that you did in your own flesh and by your own power and for your own self, and where you broke the word of God. Maybe you've been rebuked by a preacher, maybe you knew it, and you just kept doing it. Well, that's so stupid, because you're wasting your little time in this life, and you're wasting it, and now your eternal rewards are going to be lost. And you say, well, what rewards are you talking about? Your job in the kingdom. You'll have a job in the kingdom to rule over the earth. And if you're not faithful and you are doing it your way, God is going to take away that reward. He won't take away your salvation. You're not going to lose a place in heaven, but you will lose rulership. And the last of you heard, you may make money, you may accomplish your goals and so forth, but that's the kind of chastening I don't want. Amen? I don't want to have everything burned. I'd rather have God burn my life right now and take me to the woodshed for some bloodshed, and I get back to doing it His way. And I want to say to you tonight, do it His way. Stop doing it your way. Stop being stubborn. And listen to what God is saying to you, because your mortal body gives out. You got a better one, and you desire the upper taker. And when you see it, it's going to be great, because now you're going to have an immortal body, but you don't want to lose rewards when you get that immortal body. And notice verse number 4 along with that. The upper taker, it says in verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle, in our mortal body, do groan. We've already said that. He said it again. Do groan. He said we do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now, what does he mean when he says we're not? Now let me read it again. We're not burdened that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. When he says we're not burdened with a desire to be unclothed, what is he saying? Brother Matt.
I don't want to die, but I want to be promoted in my glorified body.
Exactly. You're not looking to die. How many of you want to die right now? No, not really. Well, better to die, by the way, if you're not going to be promoted in your glorified body, if you're going to lose reward, if you're doing things your way. In other words, you're here for one reason, to live for God. You're here for one reason, to do the will of God. If He wants you to be a preacher, surrender to be a preacher. If He wants you to do something His way and you're not doing it His way, according to His word, repent and get it right with God. You do it. And you say, well, how do I do it? By faith. The just shall live by what? By faith. And don't do it your way. It's faith in the Word of God. This, as I said this morning, this is our paper pope. Amen? We don't need the Pope of Rome. We have a paper pope. We have the Word of God. And so Brother Matthew has it right. We want to be promoted. And we get tired, and we want to go to sleep at the end of the night. But God says you may get tired in this body and be so tired that you want to go to sleep in death. But if Christ comes before you die, your body will be changed and you'll never be tired again. And so he talks about being clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. That is what we're looking for. So what you believers can both know and want concerning your present body, you can know that if your present mortal body gives out, you got a better one coming. You can know that. Number 2, you should desire the upper taker over the undertaker, and be looking forward to the rewards with that new body that you will have to serve God in a better way, and in a glorified way. All right. And by the way, you won't need to go to sleep. You won't need to go to sleep in the future. You'll be able to serve God day and night. And you won't need to go to sleep. You will have superpowers to serve God. And so right now, that's a wonderful thing to know. One more thing I want to look at, and we'll be done. You know with confidence that will make you willing to leave your present body for a time. You have such confidence you can have that will make you willing to leave your present mortal body for a time. All right, let's look at verse 5 of chapter 5. He says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God." Now, what's he talking about there? He's saying that God has done a work in our life, and God has saved us, and now God has saved us so that we can have our present bodies changed before we die. And God has done that in our life, and we can know that for sure, that God has done that. And he says he's also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, what's the earnest of the Spirit? The earnest of the Spirit is proof that what the Bible says is true. In other words, God says, yeah, it's a matter of faith, but I'm going to give you something to show you I'm in earnest. It's like a down payment. You know, somebody says, I want to buy something, and you say, well, give me some money up front. Give me maybe $300 or $400, or Kyle, if you're doing a job for somebody, you might say, give me a third of it up front or a half of it up front, and the rest when the job is finished. How many have heard of that? You know, you make a payment to somebody. And so you are given by God something that is a down payment to show that he means business when he says, I am going to finish the job. I'm saving you right now, but I'm going to save your body, and you're going to have this great body that we're talking about in the future. And what is it that God gives us as a down payment? One of the men tell me right now that you have to prove that I am in earnest. I'm going to finish the job. I'm going to save and glorify your body so it can never get sick or old or die. What does he give you right now according to that verse in 2 Corinthians 5? What is it, Luke?
Salvation.
He gives you salvation, but what does it say there in 2 Corinthians 5, Brother Steve? There, he got it. He gives you the Holy Spirit of God to live inside your spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit of God is already living inside your spirit. Do you sense that in your life? If the Holy Spirit is in you, he's leading you to come to church and hear the Word of God. He's leading you to read the Word of God. He's leading you to make decisions to live your life by faith. The Holy Spirit of God, and you're following that. If you're right with God, you're following that. You have the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God makes known to you the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. And so you have the Holy Spirit, and that shows you that your body's not yet saved, but just at the time when Jesus comes back, the Holy Spirit will perform that miracle and change your body and glorify that body. So yeah, that's what it's saying in verse 5. And then it says in verse 6, notice this in verse number 6, he says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, you should always be confident to know if you're in this body, you're absent from the Lord. So, in other words, there are people right now, when the roll is called up yonder, they can say their name. They're there. I gave my wife a card today, and I talked about our 9 children. And you look at that, we've only had 6 children. And I was talking to my sons about that, who were gathered around a picnic table. And I said, no, you got brothers, 2 brothers, and I don't know what the other one was. But I said, they're in heaven right now. And they said, wow, that's really something. And one of my sons said, well, would they have interrupted some of the girls? Would it be that we might have 6 boys that would have been in our family? It's possible. And we talked about all of that. But I do know we have 3 children in heaven. And I know I named one of them for sure. I think I named the other one because I don't want them to be without a name. I think I should name them. But they're in heaven right now. And I will see those children. I believe I will see those children. So my wife and I, we have 9 children. We don't have 6 children. We have 9 children. You say, how do you know that? I walk by faith. I got two eyes here, but I got a telescope, man, that can see into heaven. You say, what is it? It is the Word of God. Not some book some guy wrote, but the Word of God. This is God's book. And I can know these things for sure. And that's what he's saying here, that we walk by faith, not by sight. So we can know and always be confident that while we're at home in the body, we're not billions and billions of miles away from heaven. But heaven is there. Life is going on there. It's better than here. It's much better. My loved ones that are in heaven, my grandma that led me to the Lord that's in heaven, and others that are in heaven, my grandpa's in heaven, they're living a life that's way better than any of you are living down here right now. I guarantee you. But why are we here? We're here to do the will of God. We're here to get rewards. And we're here, you know, to look forward to Christ coming back and changing these bodies. And I pray for that and ask God for that in my life. And God wants us to have that confidence that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. And then he says in verse number 8, we are confident, I say, notice that, confident, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So even though, now listen, even though we look forward to having our body changed, not dying, not having this body die, not being naked, while we look for, that should be the mentality. People that look forward, they're always saying, I just want to die. That's not a right view. Oh, I just want to die. No, you want to live for Christ. You need to live for Christ and to overcome. You're already dead in Christ, amen. You're buried with Christ. You're risen with Christ. I'm living for, live by faith right now. But you ought to be willing if God is saying, I'm taking you home. I'm taking you home. And that's what he's saying, that we're willing. And you say, well, why would I be willing to be out of this body and to depart from this body? Well, let me read it to you in the words of the Apostle Paul. Philippians says in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, here's what God says. He says, to depart and to be with Christ is not better, far better. It's still far better. So I'm sure we look forward to Reuben passing away. But the Bible says that Reuben has it far better than Marilla has it. Far better than Eric has it, his brother. Far better. Listen, my kids that are in heaven, they have it far better than I do. You see what I'm saying? It's far better up there. Now, Paul went up there. And he didn't know if he was out of the body or in the body. He wasn't even sure. But he knew he was in heaven. He said, I can't even tell you how good it was. If I told you how good it was, you'd want to die. He said, no, you should be willing to die if it's God's will, because it is so much better. Because see, right now, you don't see Christ, you're not with Christ, but if you die, you will be with Christ directly. And you'll see him directly, face to face. And you will, you know, my mother said it. She went to Disney World. She said, wow, this is beautiful here. How many have been to Disney World? Yeah, it's beautiful, she said. She said, that makes, heaven makes that look like a ghetto. I mean, it's nothing compared to the streets of gold, the gate of pearl, the gates of pearl, the Savior shining, and the beautiful, beautiful grass in heaven, and all of that that is there, and the saints that are there, and the times they have there. No hospitals, no sickness, no disease, no death. I mean, it's going to be great, and it's far, far better. But you should realize that, and that's what he's saying in verse 8. We're confident, number one, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, didn't Paul say in verse 21 of Philippians 1 that to die is what? Gain. In heaven and with Christ, you will have a gain. Without your physical body, even though you don't have your physical body. Now, we know in heaven that the souls and spirits of the saints will be recognizable and distinct. We get that from Samuel. Remember in Samuel, Saul was able to call him up and Samuel came back up. Did he look like a young man? No, he looked like when he died. He looked like when he died. You say, where is that, Pastor? You can read about it in 1 Samuel 28, 11 through 14. 1 Samuel 28, 11 through 14. And I'm just saying that we have some kind of a soulish existence where in Luke 16 it says the man that was unclothed and his body was in hell, he could drink water and taste it and get relief if he could have it, but he wasn't allowed to have it. You know, he wasn't allowed. But if he could, he could have tasted it and got some relief. And so there is a heavenly place that is much better than this earth. But wait a minute. It's not as good as when Christ comes back. It's not as good as when the body is raised from the dead and joins that soul and spirit and goes to heaven in body, soul, and spirit together forever. And then heaven is going to come down and hover over the earth. And we will have a job on earth to do for God in these bodies. So we should be willing to die if God calls upon us. And know that it's far better. But we should desire to live for God and serve God so that when Christ comes back, He will change our body and we will get rewards of being able to serve God more perfectly without any sin, without getting weak, without getting tired, without failing God. What a time that's going to be. And you say, well, what does that mean to me? That means you need to refocus and look at these things that are in the Word of God, meditate on these things, and live your life according to God's Word, not according to your own understanding, and be faithful. Amen. All right, we'll stop there. Let's bow for prayer. We've been talking about the resurrection.